Okay, I think we'll go ahead and start.
Yeah.
Because I kind of ran out of time last time and had to talk really fast. I'm trying to slow down a little. Although I'm highly caffeinated. So, take notes fast. Okay. I'm Vicki Storm-Owen. My name's Vicki Storm-Owen. I'm the principal of Heritage Christian School, which is the information badge you have in front of you. Heritage Christian School is Lane 2 in your handouts. We are a PSP, which is an umbrella school for private Christian homeschoolers. I will be talking more specifically about Heritage and the materials in the bag at the end of the session. We're going to work our way down there. Just by way of introduction, I've been homeschooling for 28 years. We have 9 children. 7 of them are now graduated. They've all been homeschooled all the way through, all through Heritage Christian School. So 7 of them are now down and out there and doing their thing, and I'm still homeschooling a 8th and 10th grader this year. So, before I start talking about PSPs generally and specifically, so first I'm going to kind of give you a general overview of PSPs, and then we'll talk about Heritage specifically. But before both of that, I wanted to start by talking about creating your homeschool vision or mission or purpose statement. And the reason I want to start there is intentional. So as you have already seen today, there are a lot of different ways to approach this whole homeschooling thing. And options are great and they're a blessing. Like, all these options did not exist when I started out. But it can also be really overwhelming. And sometimes even to the point of paralyzing. What is the best route for my family? How do I know which one to pursue? What if I make the wrong choice? Well, the good news is, this isn't a marriage, so if you make the wrong choice, you just dump it and move on. No harm, no foul. But the point about needing to sort through all your options in some sort of meaningful way is important, and that can be as simple as creating a tool like a homeschool purpose or mission statement that can help you sort through all of your options. But let's back up a moment and, talk about vision and mission statements generally. I'm assuming everyone knows what they are, right? It's some sort of short kind of sentence or purpose statement. Hi, Scott. that tells why you're doing something or what your goals are for what you're doing. And if you're about to embark on homeschooling, I suggest you really can articulate your reason for doing so. Because this is not going to be the easiest thing you do in your life, ever. but it's so rewarding. But you need to make sure that you have some sort of grounding, something that tethers you to why you're doing it, so you have something to hold on to for the hard times that come. You can pull it out and go, oh, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. Stay focused. So creating a homeschool purpose statement is not a big deal. It doesn't have to be this big, daunting task. So start by just jotting down the reasons you're going to homeschool. What are the reasons you're thinking about homeschooling? And I get that, particularly in the last 2 years, a lot of those reasons have to do with COVID. I don't want my kid to wear a mask all day. And now it's, I don't want my kid to get the jab or whatever. And those may be reasons that started you on this path. But now that you're on this path, I hope that you've been able to think through some other benefits to homeschooling your children. So what are some of those things? Maybe it's things like, I'll help you in case you haven't thought of the good ones yet. Because there are some good ones. Maybe it's more family time. Maybe it's providing a more distinctively Christian education. How about less peer pressure? Or a chance to restore the love for learning that they lost in the last 2 years with endless worksheets and computer time. Maybe it's a break from certain influences and things that your kids are being exposed to. Maybe it's an opportunity to say, hey, I could be the primary shaper of my kids' worldview by bringing them home and being their primary teacher. If you're coming from a private school, maybe it's things like less of a financial strain. Homeschooling is cheaper than private school. It's just the fact of life. Maybe it's an opportunity to incorporate some life skills or a special interest or ability of your kid. Maybe you have a home business that you kind of want the kids to kind of come in and start working their way up there, and this gives you the flexibility to be able to do that. Or maybe it's just a chance to simplify and slow down the pace of your household. So there's a lot of other things that could be positive fruit, positive results of pursuing homeschooling. So just write all those down. Just write down as many as you can think of. Just make this whole rambling list. Then go back through the list and highlight the top 3 to 4. As you go through that list, what are the big ones that matter to you the most in raising your kid? It's great to have a list of, 25 reasons why you're homeschooling your kid. Keep that list somewhere. It's a great list to have. But to write your purpose statement, you just kind of want to focus on the big 3 to 4 things. Now, of all those things that I mentioned, they could all fit under 3 primary categories. And so then if you can put them in categories, then you're just writing a purpose statement based on the categories. For example, in our family, we don't have an actual statement, like a sentence. We have an alliteration. So our statement for why we homeschool in our family is just referred to as the 3 Fs: family, faith, and fences. That's why we homeschool. My kids can say it ad nauseum whenever they say, you know, why can't we go to school for a year or whatever? Family, faith, fences, can always say, done, conversation over. So, and I actually have a whole separate talk that really delves into each of those 3 Fs, which I'm not going to do here, so I'm just going to briefly tell you what I mean by that real quickly. So the first F, family. When you homeschool, you spend a lot of time with your family. It's just the reality of it. When mom's either at home or working, or dad's off working, and the kids are out of the house 6 hours, 5 days a week, there's obviously a logistical barrier to spending any of that time together, right? Well, the homeschooling is a game changer in that regard. You're spending all of a sudden a lot of time with your family. And for us, we wanted different relationships with our kids than we had with our parents. And we wanted the kids to have different relationships with each other than we had with our siblings. And so when we looked at all of our educational options, you know, which one could best foster those kinds of relationships, we realized, for relationship speaking, quantity does matter, not just quality. You know, try operating your marriage on 2 hours a week and tell me how. Tell me how that quality is working for you. So we just wanted to spend as much time with our kids as we could to get to our goals as a family. So that was the family. And then the second F is faith. We want to pass on our faith to our children. That was literally the whole reason we had them. We have a mission field in our living room. We very much see it that way. It is a God-given command to pass on our faith to our children. There's absolutely no getting around that. And so when we looked at all the educational options, we thought, which one is going to best foster and encourage what we're teaching our kids and what we're trying to do with our kids? And for us, the answer was homeschooling. So that's the second F, faith. And then fences, and by fences, what I mean is that protection or safeguards that we put around our kids until they're at an age of maturity that you can remove or widen the fence. Our kids' duty to go out in the world. They need to have real-world conversations. They need to have real-world temptations. They need to survive in the real world. We just don't think they're ready to do that at 3, and we don't think they're ready to do it at 6. So for some of my kids, they're probably still not ready, and they're out there anyway. But we wanted to be able to make sure that we had enough years with them to spiritually ground them, to be ready to give an answer for their faith. And so, again, we saw that as a benefit to the homeschool model. So that's kind of our statement of purpose, I guess, if you will. It's the 3 F's, family, faith, fences. It's short, it's sweet, it's something you can memorize. I do recommend whatever you create. It is something that both you and your children can memorize. Your kids need to know why you're making this decision for them. And it will only be a matter of time before they come to you and say, why have you done this to me? Or why can't I go to school with my best friend Johnny or whatever? And so you just need to make sure they understand the reasons. They don't have to agree. We're not operating on a democracy here. We're just declaring this is a dictatorship. But they need to know why, at least, you've made the decisions that you've made for them educationally. So here's some of the other, I've asked a couple of my friends to send in their purpose statement just to give you an idea of how it could sound. It can be very short and sweet and to the point. Here's just a one sentence. Why do you homeschool? To see the family love God, love others, and love learning. Short, sweet, to the point. So that's spiritual, relational, and educational. To create a happy and creative learning environment with God as our master teacher and the world as our classroom. I love that one. It's kind of more creative, which I'm totally not. Or to create a fun-filled and loving environment at home to help students discover their gifts, to encourage creativity, to teach how to diligently study God's word. So you can kind of get the idea of what people are doing when they're putting these statements to get together. But the reason you want that statement is now you have a real workable tool to now go out and look at all those options, all those different lanes in your handout, and it will help guide you on which lane best fits your family. Okay? So you basically have the charter, hybrid, PSA, or PSP options. There's five lanes there, but the PSA kind of covers a couple of them. Now, in this talk, I'm going to be speaking with the hypothetical assumption that we've all decided to go the PSP route just because you're sitting in a breakout session about PSPs. So we're just going to make that assumption, and I'm going to go forward with that. So that's lane two, in case you're wondering, on your handout. But here's the thing. Even if you've decided to be in lane two, your choices aren't over yet because PSPs, that's a big animal. And there's a lot of different choices in the PSP world out there. So you still have to make a lot of decisions. And this is where your statement is going to help you. So what is a PSP? A PSP stands for Private School Satellite Program. It is an umbrella school. And when you join the PSP, you have now become a faculty member of that school. Okay? And your classroom that you've been assigned is your living room with your children. Okay? But all the parents in a PSP, they're just their faculty. So the PSP files all the paperwork with the state, and they keep all the records that are required by the state. So again, if you're looking at that first lane was PSA, right? So if you're looking at that first lane, everything that you have to file and the records you have to keep, you don't do any of that. The PSP does all that. Okay? From a legal perspective, a PSP has to provide certain things, so no matter what direction you go with PSPs, this is the baseline of what you are going to get. No matter what PSP you join, you are going to get them filing the PSA for you, so you don't have to file anything with the state, and they will keep all of your kids' school records. That student CUM file that goes with them from school to school to school, the PSP will keep that. You don't have to keep any of that, okay? So no matter where you go with a PSP, you're going to get those two things. In some cases, that is all you're going to get. And they're very clear about that. Those are the PSPs that say records only. That's what they mean. We're going to file the affidavit, we're going to keep your records, and that's all we're doing. Fly, be free, go homeschool. or they'll call it paperwork services only. One of those two things. So those are interchangeable. And so there's a lot of PSPs out there that only provide that. Beyond that, though, there are basically three other categories of services in the PSP world. So we're going to look at each one of those. So there's administrative helps, academic helps, and extracurricular helps. So looking at each one of those separately, here are some things that you can find in different PSPs. Under the administrative helps, these are things like mentoring services, maybe someone to hold your hand through this whole process and someone that you can just reach out to at any time and ask a question, or if you want accountability and you want this person to check in on you on the first of every month to make sure you're actually doing school. That would be kind of under mentoring services. College process helps. There is a whole process to pursuing college in high school, right? You got to get through that whole application thing and the financial forms, and then there's deadlines and the tests, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. So some PSPs will provide you a very structured month-by-month, will help you through that process and make sure you're doing everything on time. Some will offer things like school pictures and IDs, and begin, because you're a faculty of that school, you would get a faculty ID, which gets you teacher discounts all around town. And then other administrative things that most schools offer. Work permits. If your kid's a teenager and wants to get a job, they have to have a work permit. Driver's ed forms, dual enrollment forms, if you're going to take classes at the community college at the same time, just all those normal kinds of forms that you need, some PSPs will provide that. So that's kind of administrative helps. For academic helps, some things you might find are things like academic advising for your high school projections. You know, let's sit down and map out all 4 years right now before your kid even starts. Usually happens in the summer between their 8th and 9th grade year, where you can go in and talk to someone, and this is what they need to take in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade to make sure that their goals are met by the time they graduate. Curriculum counseling. Curriculum is a little bit overwhelming for some people. I'm a curriculum nerd. I could talk about curriculum all day long. But curriculum counseling, if that's really overwhelming to you, you might want to join a place that's going to sit down and be able to help you through that process. Academic helps also might include classes. Now, in the world of private homeschooling, there's really two different approaches to classes. Okay, so in homeschooling, primarily speaking, you were home with your student teaching your student. Okay, that's one option. In class, there's two other options though that you can do with classes in private homeschooling. There's the co-op option. So co-op meaning it's a cooperative effort. The moms are involved. The moms are bringing the whole family or whatever kids, and they're sharing the teaching of a subject. Let's do science together this year. And there's three of us, and there's 24 chapters, so we're each going to teach 8 chapters. And we're just going to, you know, spread that around and have all of our kids do that. So that would be a co-op situation, okay? And then there's the drop-off option, which I think is kind of self-explanatory. You drop off your kid. And they take classes. So those are kind of the two options.
Who's
so again,
the teacher of that? Is it a mom?
It depends on the PSP.
Oh, okay.
With Heritage, it's an independently contracted teacher. That we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm getting there. So those are kind of the two. So again, depending on what you're looking for, that's what you're looking for in PSPs. Do they have co-op classes? Because I really want to do that. Do they have drop-off classes? Because I really want to do that. Or whatever. Okay. Curriculum libraries. So some of the expense with private homeschooling, as she mentioned, and as you have in your flyers in front of you, there is a cost to it, right? You have to buy all the curriculum. The state's not going to give you any money to do this. So maybe looking for something or a place that can lessen that burden for you, like a curriculum lending library where you can just go in and pull books off the shelf and check them out for the year and bring them back the next year. So something like that. Another thing that might be of interest to you is something that's going to train you and teach you how to be a homeschooler. So training workshops and seminars and educational options to help you learn to be a better homeschool, learn about the different curriculums out there, learn about the different learning styles and how to identify your kid in that process and what curriculum would be good because of this learning style that your kid has. So a PSP that's actively teaching and encouraging you to be a better homeschooler. Testing is another one. Testing is, you know, some people love it, some people hate it, but some people really want that annual, I want my kid to take that annual state test and see where they are. Those numbers mean something to me. Some people say, I absolutely don't want my kid to take any state tests. So, again, look at the PSP. What are their testing requirements? Are they offering testing if that's important to you? Are they not offering it? And so look at that. Okay, so those are some of the things that you might find under academic helps. And then the last category I'm just calling extracurricula, but it's basically just a throw-all category of all the other stuff that a PSP may offer. And so I'm just going to run down a list of here's a bunch of other things that you might be able to find at a PSP. Things like sports, performing arts, like choir, drama, band, academic clubs like, you know, honor society or scouting or journalism or yearbook or speech and debate. So those are some of the things that extracurricular could cover. But it also could be things like park days, just for social meetups. It might be events like sixth grade camp, formals, banquets, grad nights, graduation ceremonies, socials, retreats, community service, missions, opportunities, that kind of stuff, field trips. Depending on the PSP, it's just, they can offer a lot of stuff, right? Okay, so there's a lot that you can get by joining a PSP, but beware of the trade-off. So you're looking for a PSP that still respects and allows you to homeschool your way. You don't want to give up your independence as a private homeschooler for the sake of what the PSP is giving you. So you want to find a place that's still going to let you make all the educational decisions for your family. That's like the biggest perk of homeschooling is making those educational choices for your kids. Don't sacrifice that. They should be there to cheer you on and make sure your choices are legal and in line with state requirements and offer you support and resources, but they shouldn't be curtailing or adding things to your plate that you really don't need to be doing, okay? And realize they have the complete freedom to do that. They have formed a school. They are a school. They can decide their own graduation requirements and decide what classes you have to take to graduate from that PSP. And they can, you know, require community service hours or whatever. They can do whatever they want. They're a school. So you just want to make sure that you're aware of what you're signing up for and what you're going to be obligating yourself to. Okay. And then the other thing you want to make sure about, and this is particularly relevant because of these last 2 years, you want to make sure about its history, stability, and reputation. It is not hard to start a PSP. Literally, we could all whip out our phones right now and do it. It's a form online. It's not complicated. It's a little harder to stay open, okay? Make sure you're joining something with a long, reputable history. In these last 2 years, with this explosion of new interest in homeschooling, there are tons of businesses springing up, capitalizing on this moment. Some are PSPs, some are just other homeschool-type businesses that, I'm sorry, they just aren't homeschoolers. They're capitalizing on a need, on a moment, and that's great. They might have great business experience. They might even have some great teaching experience behind them. But a lot of these, from what I'm seeing, have zero homeschooling experience. So just be careful what you're joining. If you want help homeschooling, you might want to join a PSP that has homeschoolers in it, running it, to help you, okay? Because coming from just a traditional school background to homeschooling, apples and oranges. It's not an easy transfer, okay? They are two different worlds. And then finally, of course, it's cost. It's got to work with your budget. And as with most things in life, you get what you pay for. So a records-only PSP is going to be cheaper than a PSP offering all those things I just said. That's just the reality of it. You get what you pay for. So, bottom line, with the right PSP, you may be able to find really an entire school-type experience for your kids as in a homeschool setting. They will miss out on nothing that Johnny down the street doesn't have. And so the four things to evaluate are, what are they offering? So what are you getting from them? How much control do you retain? And then three, how long have they been around? And then for the cost, what are you looking for and what can you afford? Here's where that vision statement is going to be really helpful for you, okay? So once you do all your research on all the PSPs, go back to your vision statement. Was sports and classes a priority for you? Then you probably aren't looking for a records-only solution. They're not going to have it, okay? Was a Christian community important to you, okay? Well, now you're only looking at the Christian PSPs, and there's a lot of secular ones out there. There's all kinds of PSPs out there. Every sectarian or every religion you can think of, they have the PSPs. Was keeping the family unit together more of a priority? Then you're looking for a place that incorporates family activities and where the kids and the parents are participating together. Was not keeping the family together a priority, and you really don't want to spend that much time with your kids, then you're probably looking for a place that offers more drop-off options so that you can do that. So again, you're just looking at what was important to you on your list, what is your statement telling you are the most important things to you. Use that to kind of whittle down this big world of PSPs. So hopefully that helps. I do run a PSP here in town, Heritage Christian School, and I've been a member there for 28 years now, so yeah, I have a total bias. But I've also been around enough to know that we are the biggest PSP in town. So we do offer, of all those things that I was listing hypothetically, I think all but two of the things I mentioned we offer, and the other two I'm working on. So that was a little bit
tapered. What are the two you don't?
We don't have a missions trip yet, school-wide, which I am working on. And the other one is in process, but it's the community service.
Okay.
But we recently have partnered with San Diego Rescue Mission, so that we're getting that up and going, but it's not there yet. But everything else on that list we offer. I definitely want to go over some of the stuff in the bag, and I can give a whole Heritage commercial, but I would rather just have you guys direct your specific questions. But ultimately, my goal was to give you some sort of tool to help you whittle down the PSP options, because there are a lot of them out there. So hopefully I've done that. And if there are any specific questions, I'll take those. And if not, there's a couple things I'll explain from your bag. Yes.
So I was looking at this. I'm kind of interested in finding something for my son where maybe he could... I'd like to know if you guys have classes like music classes or anything, and how young that starts, and what would that look like? Is that a certain day at a certain time?
Okay.
Does it change throughout?
Can you
the
define
year?
What you mean by music?
Music instruments.
Okay.
Excellent. Even if they're specific, like a drum class or guitar class, singing,
yes.
Anything like that.
Okay, so we offer both of those options of classes. You know, I talked about the co-op option where parents are there and involved and teaching stuff. And then we also have the academy, which I'll talk about specifically in a minute, which is taught by independently contracted teachers, okay? But those only offer, the academy only offers core subjects. They don't offer any of the electives, okay? So a lot of those elective enrichment kind of things happen at the class day setting. So we usually always have guitar going at class day.
Class day setting?
Class day is that, I'm sorry. Yeah, good question. When I say class day, talking in heritage terms, that is our twice a month co-op classes setting. So the whole family goes, okay? And I mean the whole family, birth to mom. So there's a nursery you can put your kids in, preschool for your preschoolers, kindergarten for your kindergartners, and then all the other kids are taking three classes. And mom is helping out in some way on campus for two of the three periods. And for her off period, she's in the parent lounge having coffee and eating and fellowshipping with other moms. Okay. So by helping on campus, that does not mean teaching. Okay, it can mean teaching, like if you have a knack for that and you want to teach a recorder class, great. That's awesome. Okay, but it could also be, I am completely overwhelmed by this and the thought of teaching absolutely terrifies me. So you would sign up to maybe work a nursery or work the hospitality table or the lunch table or sign up to help out in kindergarten and pass out crayons and paper to the little kindergartners. I mean, it doesn't have to be a teaching position. So it can be a helper. There's non-classroom opportunities like the lunch bar. We have, you know, we have a snack bar and a hospitality team. Someone runs Secret Sisters and, you know, runs that whole program. And so there's other stuff that you can do. You just have to do something for two periods and then you get a period off. So a lot of the music things will happen there. Okay, and so it just depends what parent's going to stand up and say, I'm going to teach guitar this year. And we have one dad there who teaches it every single year. So we always have guitar. But then sometimes we've had, over the years, you know, moms say, I want to teach a recorder class. And so we've had a recorder class. Most recently, though, we have, and this goes into the extracurricular clubs, and this handout is in your bag, but we do have a school band and a school choir. Band is offered at three different levels. There's beginning band, concert band, and jazz band, and it's in that order of difficulty. The beginning band.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, beginning band, concert band. Concert band you have to audition for. And then jazz band, you really have to audition for. I mean, like, it's better than concert band. Like, you're pretty good at that point. They're amazing. But anyway, the beginning band class, and you can see it starts at fourth through 12th grade. And literally what she does is she has all the instruments for band spread out in a room, and you just walk in and you just kind of have the kids play around with the instruments, and then they just pick one. They don't have to know anything. Okay. Just play, this one looks kind of cool. Hey, sax, you know, I want to play sax. And so they know nothing. And so then in the clubs, that's what she does. She teaches them how to play that instrument. And so they have performances and stuff, and like our concert band, you know, they'll have more performances around town, and like they play for graduation, and but the other one will have
more. You have to know how to play.
Exactly. Exactly.
But so that's not in the co-op?
That would be a club.
It's just a club. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the clubs meet outside of any class situation. They meet at their own schedule. And this handout was supposed to kind of give that information and doesn't, so that's awesome. But they meet every Friday, and you can see where. It's in La Mesa. And it's just an annual club, so every Friday they meet and do band things. I have no one in band, clearly.
It's a special group.
Yes.
Maybe it's something you're going to cover in a minute, but I'm just looking at your academy classes, like for high school. Would they be able to meet all of the high school requirements by going to the academy?
Excellent question. They will be able to meet all the core classes, which is English, Math, History, Science. To graduate, you still need other stuff. You need PE, and if you're going to college, you're also going to need a foreign language. You're going to need a certain number of electives. So there's certain other things that you need that you could easily fulfill either at a class day setting or just life or just clubs, right? All this you can get high school credit for. So the rounding out the requirements you'll need to do separately. But the academy can meet the big four, English, Math, History, Science. Well, and we also have Spanish there.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about academy for a minute? Is that okay? Can I talk? Okay. This is the two-sided flyer that you have. Okay. So Academy is currently for 6th through 12th grade. It's a once-a-week drop-off. It happens on Mondays in La Mesa at Del Cerro Baptist Church. And you just drop your kid off, and they can take anywhere from 1 to 4 classes. It's 4 periods long with lunch right in the middle. There's always a study hall going, so if your kid is taking a 1st and 3rd period class, they can still just stay on campus and, you know, hang out in study hall and do lunch with everyone and then go to 3rd period. And those classes are taught by independently contracted teachers. The pricing for the classes, and this is obviously this year's classes. Next year's classes won't come out till March. But for this will give you an idea of kind of what the price range is for the classes, because most of these teachers are coming back. So this is based on a 10-month billing cycle. So if you're looking at a class that's $52 a month, that means the class is $520 for the year. Okay, does that make sense? So when you're looking at these, that's how you figure that. Just multiply by 10. So these are independently contracted teachers. You can come and, you know, take math and science, for example, if those are the only two classes you're interested in. This payment goes directly to the teachers, not to us. There is an admin fee that goes to us per class to pay the rent and keep the lights on. But the rest of that class fee goes straight to them, and they are completely in charge of their own class. Okay? Right now, the Academy, like I said, is 6th through 12th grade, but we are in discussions and in the works of opening a K through 6 Academy. We just don't have that all together yet.
For next year, or just...
I'm hoping. If things progress the way I'm hoping they will, then, yeah, it'll be in the fall. It's not quite there yet. So obviously we'll keep everyone posted on that. What else about Academy? These teachers have all been vetted. They all have to sign our statement of faith. They all have to teach the class from a biblical worldview. And they have to have taught the class somewhere else, like either in a co-op or some other class setting. So it's not some willy-nilly class. These are probably more college-geared students in mind. These aren't easy classes. They come once a week, and then they have 4 days worth of homework, and they're accountable to that teacher to come back the next Monday and have it all done. And the teacher gives the tests and the grades and all that kind of stuff.
So these are all on Mondays?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
And then if they have questions, I'm guessing more from
they contact the teacher.
Is it just always by email?
Some teachers have, good question, some teachers have Zoom office hours, and so they just say, you know, on these days, on different days, you know, on Wednesdays and Thursdays or whatever, you can set up an appointment and I'll meet you on Zoom, or it's by email.
And I'm just thinking more like math, because I feel like the other ones, you can kind of stop and go and skip, but yes. Math, you've got to know which thing to go on to the next. So if they're constantly having questions, how does that work? I mean, not constantly,
okay.
But...
So the math classes are the one exception to my once-a-week rule. Okay. The math classes do tend to meet twice a week. Mm-hmm. So they meet physically in person on Mondays, and then they usually have a Zoom class on another day of the week, depending on the math teacher's preference for that, whatever they can do. Because math is a little bit different.
The classes on that homework obviously isn't a problem because they're successful classes, but how do they do that?
For what?
Like the daily questions as you're doing your homework.
Oh, a lot of them just email the teacher. A lot of the teachers, though, send home resources, and so that a lot of them are watching videos for helps and stuff. And then, let's face it, there's a total social aspect to this, right? So my kids take Academy classes, and as soon as they can start driving, like the thing is, you know, well, we can only do our Academy homework at the coffee shop. In a group of 10. And so they all get together, and they're all helping each other, and they're all doing their thing and whatever. And that's fine. But yeah, there's definitely a social aspect to that classroom thing.
What is vocal arts on here?
Yes, that was an experiment that is no longer an experiment. We experimented with maybe offering some extracurricular, and then there was just a lot of reasons why that just didn't work in an Academy setting, and we're not doing it anymore. So.
Okay.
I'm just confused about, okay, your kid is less than 6th grade,
okay.
So there's no Academy option.
Yet.
What do you offer for class, like not just the one twice a month class days, but like is it just strictly full homeschool?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There is no drop-off.
No.
Some other options.
But let me just say this. There are other places around town that do have, and a lot of those places only offer K through 8. They don't even go to high school. Okay? And I can think of two off the top of my head that offer two days a week drop-off for K through 8 for classes. Okay? So you could still be part of a PSP Heritage, you could still be part of that and get all the other stuff that we offer and be the school of record that take classes at Heart or Awaken.
Oh, okay.
But again, I'm hoping to open a junior academy where that's not going to be a thing.
Yeah. And then your class days, it's just twice a month. So it's not like a regular class where you're building on it.
No.
It's just
fun. Right.
Okay.
Well, but it also could be academic. So back in the day when my older kids were going through Heritage, we didn't have academy. This is a fairly new thing. So we only had class day. So for sciences, we primarily relied on class day for sciences. And so the way that works is the teachers teaching it saying, okay, I'm going to be using the Bob Jones biology curriculum, so we're all going to go by that. Mm-hmm. This is the schedule you guys need to follow at home.
Uh-huh.
And then when you come to class, we're going to cut up the pig in class.
Right.
So you don't have to do any of the experiments at home. We're going to do it all in class. So we just do the book work at home, and then all the experiments,
okay,
like for chemistry and stuff, all that happens at class.
So they have the same curriculum if you're going to be a participant in class.
If you're going to be a participant in an academic class, you're going to need to be on the same curriculum.
Okay.
Yes. And the same with the academy. The teachers will all say, this is the book we're using. They provide the syllabus, and you're following their schedule. So this is a really good point that I want to say. So one of the things I love about homeschooling is the flexibility, and I'm in charge, okay? As soon as you start doing classes, right, you're going to lose a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher's going to be making decisions for you on your time and what you're going to use. So that's where you just really need to be careful with what you're joining.
Mm-hmm.
Does this class and does this teacher fit with my mission statement, right? You don't want to have that disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
So if my kids are sitting in that history class, I want to know it's taught from a biblical worldview. I want to know that it's relying heavily on scripture, taught by a Christian. You just got to do that research and make sure that's happening. In this case, yes, they all are. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Can you find out the curriculum beforehand? Our experience was finding out, like, does my kid's learning style, I know for a fact, it doesn't work for Bob Jones. He just doesn't work that way. So we can't use Bob Jones for him. I mean, he doesn't excel as well.
Right.
He could use it. But so am I going to be able to find out pretty much in advance if they're using Bob Jones?
Yes.
So
can
I stick with the same whenever you
And that brings me to, thank you, that's an excellent question and an excellent lead-in to this flyer. Okay, so this is the Academy Meet and Greet flyer. On April 18th, that's when all the classes for next year are going to come out. That's when you will know everything about all the classes that are going to start in August. Okay? So what happens at the meet and greet is you show up and all the teachers basically give like a 1-minute commercial for their class. Okay? I'm going to teach literature. These are the books that we're going to use. This is kind of my philosophy of teaching. These are kind of some of the projects we're going to do. This is roughly what you can expect for homework assignments, blah, 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 blah. And so all the teachers are going to do that for their classes. Our goal at Academy is to have two different teachers teaching every subject so that you have choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's going to be two people up there talking about world lit. Right? And this is why I really, if you are going to do this, I encourage you to bring your kids.
Yeah.
Because when those two teachers get up there and talk about world lit, your kid's probably going to have a preference.
Mm-hmm.
Just, oh, I like that teacher, or I really like that book list, or whatever. So that's where you'll get an exposure to what curriculum's going to be used, who's teaching what at Academy for next year, and then sign-ups for classes for next year start on April 18th.
That's for Academy and class days? Or just
this is class day and Academy. Class day teachers won't give up and give a commercial on their class, just Academy.
Oh.
But registration for both class day and Academy happens on April 18th.
And are the class days, is there a fee for that too, or is that part of it?
That brings me to, she's all over the place.
Thank you.
That's this handout. Not double-sided, but looks very similar to the Academy one, which I hate. I got to change that. Anyway, so there's two membership options that you care about for Heritage, and it's the first two, number one, number two, okay? And literally the only difference between number one and number two, there's only one service difference between those two, and it's that twice-a-month class day co-op class. That's the only difference. Either lane, you get everything else I just talked about, okay? So the only difference is that class day co-op setting. So, and the other thing I really like about Heritage, particularly as a mom of 9 children, is that you never pay for more than 3 kids. It doesn't matter how many kids you have in the program. You never pay for more than 3. So, even at the most expensive level, and there's a little, it does cost a little bit more if you have a high schooler. So even at the most expensive level, say you have a high schooler and you have more than 3 students, the most, and you're going to do the class day classes, the most you'll ever pay in tuition is $114 a month for 10 months, so $1,100 for the year. Okay. If you're not interested in that co-op class twice a month, then your fee is $65 a month.
And then you're buying your own curriculum.
You're buying your own curriculum, except that lending library. That wasn't by accident. So yes, we do have a curriculum lending library where you can just come in and pull something off the shelf. Now, we just launched that last year, so the inventory is not what it will be 10 years from now, but we're working on it. Okay, so every year we're adding to it, and my primary emphasis for filling that right now is the academy classes to try and get all of those textbooks stocked in there. But we do have K through 12 curriculum in the library right now that you could check out. There was another hand.
Yes. Okay. I think I heard something wrong, so I want to get confirmation. Back there, she had asked, so below sixth grade, you don't have any of the classes for the academy.
Right.
But below sixth grade, like on this sheet, let's say starting as early as kindergarten, are all, what about your clubs and your park days? So all those, it's just not
correct.
The academy.
Yes. So all the field trips, all the social events, the park days, all that is still open to any grade. And then the clubs, the reason I have this in here is not all clubs are for all grades, but this tells you what, you know, if you want to join drama, that does start in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We did Sound of Music and we had all these kindergarten nuns. The cutest thing ever. But you'll see that a lot of the sports ones start in fifth grade.
Okay.
With the exception of basketball that starts in third. So, I mean, there's just different grade ranges for all the clubs.
Gotcha.
And realize the clubs, so one of the reasons tuition is so low at Heritage is we are a parent-driven organization and we rely on parent volunteers. So we have clubs literally because someone at some point stood up and said, I want to have choir for my kid. And so they stood up and said, so I'm going to lead a choir club. Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, all these official ways that they have to run that club through Heritage, but it's volunteer based. That's why the costs are so low. If we had to pay everyone to run everything that we have, it would not be $1,100 a year.
So it changes.
So that's the other thing, it changes. Yeah. So there are some things that we just notoriously always have. Heritage will always have volleyball and basketball. Those are our two sports, and that will never change. The beach volleyball is new. We used to just have an indoor season, now we have beach. But yeah, softball and surf, those are kind of new. Last week at class day, I had two parents approach me about two new clubs they want to start next year. So that's just what happens. When parents want to run something, then we can offer it. And when they don't want to run it, then we don't offer it. So.
How soon could we enroll?
We take enrollment all year long. We never close. If you are thinking about enrolling for next year and classes are important to you, highly recommend that you enroll before April 18th, because once that opens, class registration starts for everyone. Like, our people don't even get a head start on it. Like, it just opens on April 18th, and once these classes fill, they fill. I mean, I have an independent contractor saying they can only teach two periods, and I'm only going to take this many kids, so once it's full, that's all I have. So I would recommend, you can't register for classes until you're enrolled. So if you are thinking about enrolling for next year, I would suggest doing that before April 18th.
Is it pretty full right now?
No one's registered for anything yet. So I'm sure everyone's planning. But I haven't even released the schedule yet. So the academy schedule will be released in March, and the class day schedule will come out like a week before registration. So no one even knows exactly what it looks like next year yet.
Do you know when in March?
For the class day? I mean, for March. I'm hoping for March 1st. So we're in the process of hiring teachers right now. By the way, if anyone is a teacher and they're looking for a side hustle, you know, I would love to talk to you about Academy or Academy Junior.
March 1st registration, is that what you mean?
No, March 1st to release the schedule of what we will be offering.
When does registration start?
April 18th.
Oh, because I thought you were saying before.
Yeah, you need to be enrolled in the school before you can register for classes.
Okay, so enroll so, before.
Yes, so
okay,
those are two different things. So enrollment in the school is a little bit of a process. It's not that long. You fill out an online application. I call you. You come in and you have an interview with me. We go over some things, and then if we both like each other at the end, then you're enrolled. So
okay,
once that happens, then you're able to register for things. So that's my recommendation.
The classes are offered for the whole 9 months, 10 months?
Yes. Yes. At Academy, the classes are, there's 32 classes. They meet for 32 weeks out of the year. And it's a whole 10, it's
and
a whole,
once a week.
Once a week. Yes. With lots of homework at home. Or at the coffee shop, depending on your kid. and then class days, they meet 18 times during the year because they're meeting every other month. I should also say with class day, so like next year we'll have four different campuses. There's two in La Mesa, one in Bonita, and one in Escondido. And so two of those are meeting the first and third Thursday of the month, and two are meeting the second and fourth Thursday of the month. So some people join two campuses so that every Thursday they're going somewhere. It's a co-op kind of class, but they just want to be going somewhere. So that is an option as well. You can join more than one campus.
So wait, so the class days that you're saying, those are the co-op where parents
yes.
volunteer?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, class day and co-op, that's synonymous.
Sorry, I'm like...
Sorry. Follow my 28 years of thinking here.
And I'm sorry. Monday and Friday's the Academy.
Just Mondays.
Monday's the Academy.
Thursday's
the co-op.
Yes.
And like Friday's the clubs.
Well, depends. It depends on the club. Yeah.
Okay,
so
band was
yes.
Fridays.
So typically, and I think drama's meeting on Fridays too. I think the performing arts clubs are all meeting on Friday. Sports meets two times a week and then games on the weekend. So that's like three times a week. And then the academic clubs, I don't have anyone in there. I don't know when they meet. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure of their schedule. Both Honor Society, well, actually all three of those academic clubs are part of national associations. So, I mean, it's not like, oh, how cute, the homeschoolers are trying to be an honor society. Like, it's a legit, we're part of an actual chapter. And robotics is as well, and so is the yearbook. So they are academic clubs that would go on your transcript and would look good for college. Because they can cite the national organizations.
Can I ask you about sports?
Yeah.
Because I know I, in high school, I ran. I'm sure you helped me get a scholarship to run to college. I kind of think about that for my kids. My son's in seventh, and he's very athletic. He surfs. I was like, that looks cool, but unless he stays in California, you know.
Right.
I went to college in Colorado, so I just, how, because I look online to see how private homeschoolers can compete, or...
Okay, so that... I'm really glad you asked that so that there's no one leaves here with any misconceptions. We are not CIF level sports, okay? There will be no scholarships offered for your kids playing on a Heritage basketball team. They'll have a great time. They'll learn basketball, and they'll get to play with other private schools and other homeschool groups all throughout Southern California, but they're not going to get any scholarships for that. We're not CIF. So all of these clubs, you know, they'll be exposed to some great things and have some great opportunities and have that experience, but... it has its limitations.
Yeah.
And the upside for me to that is, you know, CIF sports, for those of you who have done it, you know, you're out there 5-6 days a week, and it's kind of becomes your life. This is 2 days a week, and then we go to games once, you know, on the weekend, and you can do a lot of stuff. You know, my kids can do basketball and choir and drama, you know, because it's not, they're not all consuming. So. Any other questions? One last thing I want to say is this flyer. The annual Heritage Conference, this is available to members and non-members. You can see the different topics that will be offered at the conference, lunch is included, but it's just a good introduction to some of the typical conversations that you're going to have as a homeschooler and stuff to know and learn. If you do end up attending the conference, if you end up joining the school by the end of April, your ticket fee goes toward your enrollment. So, mentioning that as well. I think I've covered all my flyers. Did I? I think so.